The following message was given at Grace Community Church in Minden, Nevada.
If you have your Bibles, let's open up to Psalm 1. This is the reading of God's Word. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. It's the reading of God's word. Please have a seat. A lot of us, you know, a lot of us are unhappy. That may surprise you to hear. It may surprise you because someone shook your hand this morning. Because someone smiled at you and gave you a hug. It may surprise you because you look around and everyone, they look pretty upstanding. They look pretty respectable. They're in Sunday best and all that. And yet a lot of us today are unhappy. We're unhappy underneath the burdens that we bear. We're unhappy under the sadness that is just so normal, a part of life in this fallen world. We are unhappy because of the burden of our jobs, the stresses that we bear because of responsibilities, because of coworkers, because of deadlines. We're unhappy. Some of us have just been living in depression so long they can hardly imagine that there's a day in which they could break out from it. We're unhappy because of the sins that have ensnared us. We're unhappy that we went chasing after the fool's gold of this world because it promised us joy, and then we got there and it was pure poison. And now we are reaping that corrupt fruit in our lives. We're unhappy because we have been desperately trying to fill this gaping hole in our lives and nothing works. And so you go on vacation and you come back and you're the same person. You find a new relationship, and what do you know? They're a sinner and so are you. You get that promotion that you've always been aspiring to, and it didn't solve anything. You look around, and for all of our American prosperity, for all the material riches that are just lavished upon us at this chapter of history, you look around and we're not known for being a happy people. Materialistic maybe, greedy maybe, angry maybe, but we're actually not really known for our happiness. And what may surprise you is that the Bible is actually very concerned with your happiness. The Bible is actually concerned with human happiness. And I need to point nowhere else than the fact that the very first line of the very first psalm introducing the massive book of Psalms is a benediction from God about how to walk in the blessing of God. God puts before us his personal, perfect path of blessing. The God who designed you actually knows best how to bless you. Now, the Bible's not ignorant that there are competing visions of what it means to be happy out there. The Bible knows that for every time the Word of God goes out in truth, there has been this age-old historical voice that says, but isn't there a better way than God's? Isn't there a better way than what that word just told you? The Bible makes a bold claim. The bold claim of the Bible is that the happiest person is the one who has entrusted themselves to the God who made them. The bold claim has another side. The unhappiest person is the one who is walking on any other path of blessing. And so as we consider this psalm, this fundamental introduction to the Psalms and to our spiritual walk with the Lord, two paths lie before us. One path is blessed, and the other is not. And the question for you is, which path will you walk? Oh, and I dare you to take seriously your happiness. As the Word launches into these paths of happiness laid out before us, these competing visions of what it means to be blessed, you have to ask the question, what does the psalm mean when it's talking about blessedness? What does it mean to be truly blessed? And we have to be clear what the Bible means here. The Bible's being specific. There's a lot of things that count as blessings that doesn't mean that's what the Bible's talking about now. And so the Bible's not talking about any and every blessing out there. Is your family a blessing? Amen. Absolutely, your family is a blessing. Is it a blessing that you have things like shelter, food? Amen. Thank God from whom all blessings flow. Amen. That is a blessing too. Is it a blessing when you walk out there and you see these glorious mountains, the work of God's fingers? Amen. All of these are blessings, and yet none of those are what we're talking about. The blessedness, this true blessedness that we're talking about from Psalm 1, from the Word of God, it's talking about the joyful spiritual condition of those who are right with God. You may have heard these kinds of things translated as happy. And that's okay. That's okay. But as one commentator was saying, there's a problem with translating this happy, because a lot of us are going to think we're talking about something superficial. So I'm happy with a good dinner. Is that all we're talking about? So that commentator, he suggested, maybe the most accurate way we could communicate this to your average person is to translate it truly happy. As in, truly happy is the man. The one who understands what it is to walk in right relationship with their God, to experience that overflowing, stable joy that comes from walking with their God. True blessedness, true happiness is ultimately about where you are with your God. And there are two sides of the true blessedness that the psalmist puts out before us. Two sides of this blessedness. The people of God are blessed by what they don't do, and the people of God are blessed by what they actually do. Two sides of the blessedness going to be talked about here. First, the people of God are blessed by not participating in the world's sin. So I want you to hear verse 1, one more time, and just with this lens, this verse is on purpose. It is not just saying the same thing three times. Verse 1, blessed, truly happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. Pause there. So I said, it's not saying the same thing over and over. What is it doing? Every line is actually intensifying. Every line is a little more purposeful, a little more specific. So you start with that first one, walking in the counsel of the wicked. I would suggest that from the very get-go, a better word than wicked here in this psalm would be ungodly. The reason, again, is not a problem with the translation. It's how we understand the translation. So when I say wicked, if I say, hey, are there any wicked people in the room? A bunch of you will think, well, that doesn't count for me. That's talking about like Hitler and the worst of the worst. That was what wicked means. And that's not actually what the psalm is going for. The psalm uses a general word here. It's the idea of people who are outside of the covenant with God. And because of that, they haven't dealt with their sins. So they're still guilty in those sins. In other words, this applies to anyone who is not walking with the Lord. And so ungodly is a better word to communicate that. Walking in the counsel of the ungodly, then, is what that line means. And the idea is of living according to the advice of the ungodly, which suddenly actually describes a ton of us. The idea of living according to the advice of the ungodly. There is a blessing for not doing that. But it keeps going. Not just walking in the counsel of the ungodly, but standing in the way of sinners. Now, standing. Standing is this idea of like having halted. You were walking and then you stopped. Why did you stop? You stopped because you wanted to consider something. So in this case, you have someone who has stopped to consider the lifestyle of the sinner. The sinner, of course, being not an insult that the scripture wants to throw at you. The sinner being someone who's breaking the law of God, which again turns out to apply to like all of us. Stopping to consider that sinful lifestyle. And the way this is intensified, it's the difference of walking by something and stopping to look at it. If you've ever gone shopping, you may walk by a store with a display case. How do you know you're more interested? You stop walking. You stop. You look into that window because you want to assess whatever it is they're selling to decide whether or not you're going to do anything with that. It's the same thing with our sin, the same thing with the sinful temptations out there. On the one hand, you could walk in their counsel, which is the start of the downward path. But it's gotten more severe. It's gotten more intense if you have stopped because you want to hear a little bit more about this sinful lifestyle. Decide if maybe it is for you. There's a blessing for not stopping to take in whether you want to jump on board with someone else's sin. And then there's sitting in the seat of scoffers. So a scoffer, that's someone who's outright mocking God. That's someone who outright ridicules the people of God. They oppose God to the point that they will outright mock him, mock his ways, mock his people. Is that the kind of person you want to be sitting with? So we see then in the idea of sitting, it's not that I've decided I'll walk with you. It's not even that I've decided that I'll stop and look and examine you, see if I want to do it. Sitting then is I have joined with you. And at every level, the sin got kind of worse. Ungodly, which applies to everyone. Sinner, which starts getting a little more specific. And then mocker. You have this growing increasement in the way that the person has engaged with sin. Each level getting more intense. It started with just an influence. It ended up with sitting with those who outright mock the Lord, joining them. The reason we have to point out that this is something that's been put together on purpose is because there is a point. And the point is to say that participating in sin picks up momentum. And there's not a single person in this room who doesn't know what that's like. Participating in sin picks up momentum. Sinful influences, they start small. All it has to be is someone just with a little suggestion. Isn't there a better way than God's? Couldn't we do this a different way? Do you think God's word really applies here? Can't we come up with something a little more up to date? Sinful influences are that small. Just a comment, just an idea, just a perspective. But then you might pause. Yeah, why do we do things that way? Why should God's word apply here? This is thousands of years old. Shouldn't we update the word of God? You start engaging with it. You start thinking about it. You start thinking seriously. It's not advice that's just rolling off your back. It's advice that you have stopped to consider taking. And then you might go the next step. Yeah, why don't we try that? That does sound better than God's word. Yeah. Let's give that ungodly counsel a try. Sin has this way of picking up momentum. And the point of the ending of just that verse is to say, it will lead you places you never imagined you would go. So you start out and it's someone who's trying to walk with the Lord and they just happen to take up, you know, a couple of close friendships with people out in the world. They're giving their advice on spirituality. They're giving their advice on relationships. They're giving their advice on everything. And then at some point, that godly person kind of starts changing course. They're not listening to God's counsel anymore. They're starting to listen to the other person's counsel. And you can have a person who started out with the best of intentions. You can have the person who starts out saying, yes, I want the things of the Lord. And then somehow they're sitting at the table mocking the Lord. And we've seen it happen. And it doesn't happen to people with like a stamp on them that says this person is going to just depart. It happens to people you would never expect. Sin has a way of picking up momentum. And there is an outright blessing for you, child of God, for not participating in the world's sin. Recognizing that even a little bit of participation can pick up momentum and take you places you never wanted to go. The people of God are also blessed by living in the Word of God. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. The blessing is described for the man who delights in God's word. Delight, what a word. What a word that, frankly, we have a hard time connecting with sometimes. He's saying delight, as in there is joy in the word of God. And that word delight, that's not a word that you can fake. You can tell if I'm delighted or not. I can tell if you're delighted or not. Right now, not a lot of you are delighted. You can't fake that delight. And so you say, well, where's that come from? It actually comes from the Word. It actually comes from recognizing that the Word of God is delightful. It actually comes from recognizing the delight that is built into the Word of God. And so the truly happy person is the person not who is faking delight, not who's a bookworm and just likes reading. The truly happy person is the person who has come to see clearly that God's word is delightful. What a blessing. And because it's delightful, then that person meditates on it day and night. It's funny how God's providence works. This is like the third time we've talked about meditation in like a week. So we talked about it last week in Sunday school. I ended up writing a blog post. It's on our blog, How to Biblically Meditate. Because this ends up being such an important way that the Word of God wants to lead us. It says, meditate. There's a delight in meditating on the Word of God. And yet, for so many of us, we say, but I don't get it. I don't get it. It's just weird. It's foreign. It doesn't click for me. If I sit still and try and think about the things of the Lord, I'm thinking about a TV show in 1 minute. Well, all the Word is talking about when it says meditate is it's talking about reflecting deeply on the Word of God. And plug that into here. It's talking about reflecting deeply on the Word of God because it is a source of true happiness. So when I'm convinced that something is a source of true happiness, you don't actually need to twist my arm to do it. That's part of our problem here, is that we have so little experience with the word being delightful. So when you're told to meditate on the word, you're like, oh, okay, I'll put it on my planner. But it's not lifting your heart. You're not looking forward to it. Things that are truly delightful, you look forward to, don't you? And for us, so many of us, that's a foreign experience with the Word of God. But the path of happiness that God is laying out before us is one that recognizes that God's Word is delightful. And because it's delightful, I'm just going to get as much as I can of it. I'm going to spend as much time as I can in it because I love it. Because it blesses me. Because I am changed. Because I have that Word of God. That delightful Word of God. The person who has been shaped like this, convinced like this, then you don't have to persuade them anymore when they're going to do it. You don't have to put it on their planner because they're going to do it day and night, like the psalm says. In other words, all the time. all the time. They want to be in the Word. And so in the daytime, I'm just storing it up so that even when it's dark, I've got the Word with me. Even when I wake up consumed with stress over my job, consumed with a broken relationship that I'm living through right now. Even when I wake up in the middle of the night, what do I have to minister to me? I have the delightful, needful Word of God. That's the blessing that the psalmist is talking about. And he says, if this is you, if you are experiencing this blessing, you know what you are like. You are like a tree that has been planted by streams of water. It's just this wonderful picture because it's so simple and it's really hard to forget. A tree planted by streams of water. That's what you are like. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season and its leaf does not wither. All that he does, he prospers. And so the picture then, it's not of how we grow trees, but it's like, just imagine how good this tree has it. It's been planted. That spot was picked out for it. It's been planted not by a stream, but by streams of water. If one of them were to give way, it's still got another. It's got this abundance providing for its deepest needs. Its roots are sunk deep into what it needs most. And that's the picture of the Christian who is in the Word of God, living in the Word of God, roots in the Word of God, abundantly provided for. And this tree, it's a tree that's fruitful, that bears fruit in its season, that bears fruit like it's meant to bear. And you, Christian, if your roots are in the Word of God, you have this hope and this expectation that you will, in fact, bear fruit. And then when the heat comes, when the trial comes, even though it's withering everyone else, your leaf is unwithered. That trial does not make you wither up, dry up, and die, because your roots are sunk so deep into the Word of God. That Word is enough even for your most intense trial. So that in all that he does, he prospers. That's not like a recipe for unlimited success. You're like, yeah, I'm going to go start a business now and it's going to automatically succeed. It's not what it's talking about. It's talking about in the terms of the psalm. And so you're going to prosper when you're in the Word in terms of fruitfulness. That Word is going to bear fruit in your life when you engage in it in faith. You are going to prosper in that you are going to be able to bear up healthy in the trials of life, the trials that you're going through right now. You will prosper. You will be blessed, child of God, when you live in the Word of God. And the ungodly person will experience the opposite. That's how the psalm, it just turns on a dime there. That same word wicked, it's that ungodly word again. The ungodly are not so. Ungodly, as in they're not in a right relationship with God. As in, they still have sin that hasn't been dealt with because Jesus has not saved them from their sin. Jesus hasn't paid for their sin. And that person, which ends up applying to the whole world, all those who are not walking with the Lord, then you have to say, they don't know any of these blessings. For all the blessings they know of family and jobs and creation and whatever else, they don't know this blessing. Not one of these blessings applies to them. And so there they are outside of Christ and entangled in their sin, entangled in the sin that is killing them. They have no idea what the delights of the Lord are. Never been there, never experienced it, never tasted that. And they wither. They wither in the furnace of this world. They're like chaff, the word says. They're like chaff that the wind drives away. In other words, they're like the worthless husks that come along with the grain. And the only thing you want to do is get rid of them. You separate the chaff from the grain. And this ends up being actually a big biblical picture of what judgment is. That the ungodly will be separated at judgment. They won't stand at the judgment. In other words, they will be condemned at the judgment. That day we all know is coming when a just God is going to make creation answer to his just laws. The ungodly won't be able to stand on that day. Those who are still holding on to their sin will not receive this blessing of God. And this is one of those basic Christianity moments, basic Bible moments to say people who live in their sin, they will be condemned. And that has to be heavy on us. Heavy on the person still in their sins. Heavy on all of you who are not still in your sins. They will be condemned for living in their sin. And so it gets us to the conclusion, the summary that we've been painting a way for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. And so, child of God, the good news for you, God knows you. I know it doesn't always feel like that. Child of God, believe the word of God. God knows you. And what that ends up meaning in context is that on the last day, God is going to claim you. Claim you as his own. On that last day, you will stand. Because he will make sure that you stand. But the flip side of that is that the one who is not God's, there's only judgment coming. That's it. There's only judgment coming for those who are outside the Lord. And if you consider the stakes of what the psalm is talking about, there is only one way to apply this. Seek the blessing of the Lord. Every single one of you, that is your takeaway. Seek the blessing of the Lord. Seek the blessing of the Lord by keeping far from the sin that is killing us. See your sin for what it is. It's not a cute little pet. It's like a rattlesnake that wants to kill you. And you're playing with it. And you're letting it just hang out with you. You're acting like it's safe and it's not. See your sin for what it is. It is a curse to you. And every sin in your life, especially the ones that you don't think are alarming, every single sin in your life wants to grow. And every single sin in your life wants to take you places that you never thought you would go. Every sin is a thief trying to steal your true happiness and swap it out with your eternal condemnation. Seek the blessing of the Lord by staying away from the sin that kills us. And seek the blessing of the Lord by embracing God's word in all your life. See God's word for the delight that it really is. Things I love about the word of God is how it does things that nothing else in the world is doing. The word of God, it is good. Truly good. Purely good. Overflowing with good. Do you read a lot of things out in the world and you think, wow, that was good? I find that they're filled with toxic, anger-inducing, soul-distracting, soul-corrupting filth. You ever read that kind of stuff? It talks about what is good in a world that has a total drought of goodness. It talks about what is true. How about that? Are you reading a lot of truth lately? Or does it feel like they are all lying all the time? And the word of God points you not just to what is true for today, for a newspaper, but what is true and can stand the test of all time. And you can stand on that. You can have a solid rock under you with that. The word of God, it talks about is true. It talks about what we really need. I mean, so much of what's out there, all it is a big distraction. Hey, why don't you think about this? Isn't that funny? Isn't that controversial? Isn't that interesting? And all the while, your soul is still starving. And the word of God alone has this way of telling you the very thing you needed. Not the thing you would have said you needed, the thing you actually needed. And you find in the Word of God the best story that's ever been written. It's a story of redemption that spans all of history. It's like on one part, this grand master who can think out a million moves in advance, even with idiots like us on the board participating. But it's also the story of this heavenly, loving, tender Father who says, yeah, you rebelled against me. Yeah, you shook your fist at me. Yeah, you betrayed me, but I'm coming after you because I'm not going to let you die. It is this glorious story of redemption, and there's really nothing like it. See the delight of the Word of God. Let's be done as Christians with the attitude that says, how much do I have to do? I woke up this morning, how many chapters do I have to read to be a good Christian today? How fast do I have to read the Bible? Is it 6 months? Is it 9 months? Is it a year? It's not more than a year, is it? Let's be done with this attitude that totally doesn't believe what God is saying, that His Word is a delight. Let's embrace an attitude of faith that doesn't say, how much do I have to do, but says, how much can I get? How much blessing, how much true happiness can I have? It's like going to the best buffet in the world and you never get full. Just eat and eat and eat and be blessed and be blessed and be blessed. That is the attitude of the person who believes God when he says, my word is a delight. And so Christian, if you're going to embrace that, that's going to look like something. That's going to look like you carving out time for the word. It's going to look like you're spending time with it. You thought meditate was the craziest, most foreign word you've ever heard. Well, how about that for your 2020 resolution? This will be the year that this foreign idea of meditation becomes my own. I'm going to just go to the Word and I'm going to turn it over and over and over. I'm going to look at it like the most beautiful diamond in the world, facet by facet by facet. I'm going to drink it up. I'm going to soak it up. And then I'm going to take it out into my days and into my nights and I'm going to live it. If we delight in the Word of God, we're going to live differently. How about actually memorizing the Word? That's one of those things that all of us have these stories of the times when we were good at memorizing. You have that chapter in your life? Like, yeah, I knew a whole chapter here. Or I knew a whole book here. But I haven't done that in a while, tends to be the conclusion. But don't you also reflect on those days when you were deep in the Word as being some of the deepest blessing you've ever known? The wacky thing with human beings is you cannot rely on us to do what is actually blessed. We will actually go running after filth faster than we will go running after blessing. Embrace the blessing of God. Make the Word a part of your life. Make it a part of your meditation. Make it a part of your memorization. How about this? We're about to have lunch. What if you just sat down and just started talking about how the Word was blessing you, challenging you, changing you? You looked at your brother and your sister and you said, now how about you? What can you share with me? Let's let the Word be a part of our life like it truly is the delight of the Lord. And if you're not a Christian today, seek the blessing of the Lord. Seek the blessing of the Lord. Believe what the Word of God is saying so clearly about your future, that all that lies ahead for you is judgment. That's it. But you see, God doesn't tell us things because He wants to rub it in our faces. No, God tells you about judgment so that you can avoid it. He tells you that sin is killing you so that you can flee from it. He tells you about His blessings so that you can have them. That is the reason you are here today, to hear about the blessings you don't have, to hear about the sin that is killing you, and to be finally decided that you are going to seek the blessing of the Lord. And for the Christian and the non-Christian, you know what's going to happen if we walk that path of blessing? If we walk God's path of blessing and not just what we think is blessing. If we walk His path of blessing and not just what the world has told us is blessing. If we walk this path, you're going to end up at Jesus Christ. You are going to end up at Jesus Christ because without Him, all of us are the ungodly who will perish in the judgment. Because without Jesus Christ, none of us are the righteous, those who he knows and saves. Jesus Christ is the only reason that any of these blessings can be true for you. Jesus is the God who died for the ungodly. And Jesus is the Savior who made sinners righteous. And Jesus is the Word of God that you most need. There are only two paths before us. But only one of those paths leads to your soul's true happiness. So Christian and non-Christian alike, choose the right path for the year to come. Seek the blessing of the Lord. Let's pray. Our God, we praise you for the blessings that are found in Jesus Christ and Jesus alone. And would you give us the faith to seek the blessing that is only found in Jesus alone? Father, help us who struggle so much with faith, who struggle so much with doing what is most blessed for us. Help us this day to seek only our true blessing. Turn us from the sin that only kills us. Lord, we want only you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
We hope that you were edified by this message. For additional sermons as well as information on giving to the ministry of Grace Community Church, please visit us online at gracenevada.com. That's gracenevada.com.